You're listening to Wet Shaving Talk, powered by SharpAllergist.com, where we're dedicated to preserving the art and skill of classic shaving. I'm your host, Joe Brilliant. Today's May 28th, 2018. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Wet Shaving Talk podcast after a brief break. I do apologize for missing an episode. As you guys know, we talked about it on the last show last month, actually. It's almost been an entire month since the last show. I can't believe it. That I was on a work trip, and I actually went to... I was in Europe for approximately 2 weeks and got to tour some... I was in Spain and France, got to tour some really nice wineries and stuff. As you guys know, my primary work is the wine business, and I got to go see some really cool stuff. Once-in-a-lifetime trip, so I'm really... you know, very fortunate to be able to go on a trip like that, and very fortunate to be home. So, very, I'm glad to be back on the podcast and to get going. So, we have some really cool stuff to talk about this week. And what we're going to talk about, first and foremost, is our discussion of the week will be demand versus supply, are prices out of line? Okay, we're going to talk about that with some specialty items or stuff you see online. We've talked about raffles and stuff like that. We're going to talk more about prices in general. Including that other stuff as well. There's a new video series out that I am a part of and I wanted to share with you guys. It's called the West Coast Shaving Daily Shave Video. And that is approximately 7 or 8 wet shavers that take all over the country that do a video of their daily shave with some new products and old products as well. And it's shared on the website and emailed to probably about 25 or 30,000 people. A very cool series. I'm going to talk more about that as well on the show today. A training tip of the week is going to be out-of-country travel. Now, this is something I have a little bit of experience in. I've done it a few times. And it's what to and what not to bring with you when you go traveling. Okay, so, you know, when you're out there, you're traveling, whatever, stuff happens. I'll tell you a little bit about my story. You might be surprised on what you hear and what happened to me while I was traveling and why I'm happy I brought with what I brought with me. And a product review today will be feather blades. I don't know if now, I've done a lot of... testing with sharp blades and stuff like that, but feathers seem to be one of the sharpest. We're going to talk about them and see how they are and what kind of razors to use in it as well. All right, guys, so without further ado, let's get on with the show. All right, so the West Coast Shaving. Now, if you're not familiar with West Coast Shaving, it's a actual vendor that's been around for a very long time. Recently has changed ownership probably in the last 3 or 4 years, right? They used to be owned by a smaller company. Now it's getting to be a little bit of a larger company. Now, in the show notes, I put in a link of the West Coast Shaving Daily Shave video. And what it is, it's a shave a day from shavers from all over the country. I was actually very, very fortunate to be one of the wet shavers that was picked to do this kind of series. And I was actually contacted by West Coast Shaving's CEO, and we talked and we got some ideas going, and about a few months ago about doing something. We talked about like what we can do to promote wet shaving from coast to coast, but more along the lines of like a daily thing without having it to be crazy, without having it to be, you know, overly excessive with equipment or anything like that. So we talked and stuff like that. A few weeks go by, a few months go by. Finally, we get the West Coast Shaving. They get this the shaving daily shave video going, and I'm actually one of the guys on there. So I've done about 3 or 4 videos now. I record just a shave of the day and just talking about what I'm doing. I try to do something a little bit more on the long line of a lesson instead of just shaving, because I think that really benefits new wet shavers more than anyone. So if you guys haven't checked it out or are not a member of West Coast Shaving, I did put a show note, the link in the show notes, and you can just sign up on their website and get the notifications, and they'll send you, you know, every day they'll send you the video via email, or you could just go on the website as well and check it out. But yeah, it's a really cool thing. Really fun concept. Just do a daily shave with some different products every day and just talk about it. And, you know, sometimes when I do YouTube videos, I don't think of like a daily shave. I just think of like, okay, what am I going to do? What's my process? With this kind of a video, I just say, okay, this is what I'm doing today, and I'm just going to talk about it. And it really takes the stress out of it, I guess, and it makes it a lot easier just to record. And you just go in there, put your phone on, and you're done. That's it. So, yeah, check it out, guys. West Coast Shaving Daily Shave Video. Moving right along, we're going to talk about demand versus supply. Are app prices out of line? Now, this is something that we've talked about recently. We've talked about raffles. We've talked about prices like that. Are there shave products selling well over retail price on the retail market? Yes, there are. And how do you feel about it? Well, I'd like to hear your guys' thoughts as well. So send me an email regarding this, joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com, so we can talk more about what your opinion are on prices. Now, I've spoken to a couple of vendors, actually many vendors, regarding this. And I'm not going to say names because that would be, no, that's not cool. But a lot of them are upset that they see that somebody will buy something from them, especially razors, right, or limited edition soaps. Somebody will buy something directly from them, and before it's even shipped to the person's house, they see it listed on eBay or on a BST spot. Now, this doesn't happen too much in the forums, okay, in the wet shaving forums, like Badger and Blade, for example, and like StraightRazorPlace.com, because, well, let's be honest, there's more regulation, but it happens a lot on Facebook, it happens a lot on eBay, because there is no regulation, right? There's no moderators that care. A lot of them say, hey, look, this is the price, whatever, we're not going to get involved, okay? And rightfully so, that's the rules, right? But this is what's happening. So it's a select few that do this. People buy something brand new, and they go and they sell it. Now, you'll notice online, if you looked at, like, for example, anything from Wolfman or anything from Barrister and Man that's limited edition, you'll see those prices go astronomical. Or Holy Black, you know, if you ever noticed that company as well. The Lavender set was another one I saw. Some of those sets going for $300 online. It's just like it's getting to be the point where, okay, what are we doing here? Are we preserving the hobby? Are we trying to, or are we just really just trying to profit? Are there people that are going in there and just buying, like, 3 or 4 or 5 sets of this stuff and just selling it just to sell it? They don't care. They don't want to use it. And they're not letting other people buy it. And that's put some of the vendors in a difficult place. And what the vendors are doing and artisans are doing is they're going to start limiting who buys it. They'll, like, say, okay, limits 2 under this. But, I mean, really, I know they could do that, but what is, who's stopping from them? Oh, my friend will buy you this, or I'll use a different website or a different, different computer to buy it off of them, so my address is different. So it's really hard to regulate this. So I ask you this. Guys, the only way to prevent this from happening, and I have to do this myself because I've been victim to this myself recently. I just got overly gouged on something and that I really wanted, and I said, okay, you know what? I know what the demand is. I know what the price is going for it. So I went and purchased it. Now I was asked by an actual person via email, how do I combat this? Well, how do we stop the gouging and all this stuff? And I told him there's only one way to do it, and that's just not participate. And what I mean by not participating is don't buy it. If everybody did not buy something that was overpriced, then nobody would resell it, right? But there are people out there that are willing to pay, 5 to 10 times more of what they bought, what they purchased, and they don't care. It's just, that's how it is, and that's how it's going to be. So there's nothing we can do about it, guys, unless if we keep buying this stuff. So our way, our defense for the price gouging, for the raising of prices, for the hard to find shaving products or brand new stuff, is just to stop participating and not getting into it. Meaning, hey, if I'm going to buy it, I'm going to buy it from the arts. Now, that also puts us in a difficult place because supply and demand is a natural thing. You can't really affect supply and demand like that, right? If somebody says, I'm going to make, example, the BBS1 safety razor, right? It's made by LA Shaving. Wolfman made it for LA Shaving Soap Company. There's 420 of them made, right? I'm in the process of doing a lot of research on this razor and just messing around and talking about people. And what's really cool about it is that it's an actual classic razor that shaves very well. That it's different than for me when I'm usually researching Gillette and stuff like that, because those guys are long gone and the company's gone. Right now, the two gentlemen that are involved in the process of this making this item are very well in business and alive. So, I mean, I could talk to them and email them directly and get answers. So that's one plus with that. But also, sorry to get off subject on this one. But, I mean, the prices on this is like going up high. There's only 420 made, so what are you going to do? I mean, they're not being made anymore. So, obviously, the price is going to go up in the demand. People are going to charge what they think they can get for them. And if you really want it, you're going to pay for it, right? So, I'm not talking about items like that. I'm talking more about along the lines of, okay, I bought a limited edition soap. And it's not even at my house yet. It's already on eBay. you know, or something like that. That's where people are just trying to make money off it. And, you know, eventually those people drop out, guys. They don't stick around too long. If you notice, you'll see a lot of people buying stuff online, buying stuff on a certain group, and they'll do that for like 6 months. And after about 6 months, you know, then they drop out. You never see them again because they're like, okay, this is boring. This is not good. I'm not making that much money on it. And it's a lot of work to do and buy stuff and have to be, you know, clicking constantly to find something online and wait, be on a waiting list or something like that, buy it and then resell it, because it really isn't really that much fun, right? So that's the only way. And like, again, guys, I'm sorry I went off topic a little bit, but to combat this supply and demand, it's really tough to do with the limited edition products. But if you don't pay it, nobody, and we don't pay it as consumers, the price will go down with the gougers. They won't do it anymore. Unfortunately, I don't see that happening, but that is the only way it'll stop. Now, we could say, again, moving on to this subject again, we could say, well, guys, make more of them. And it doesn't matter, because if they make more of them, it's still going to happen, right? Some of these companies have one person working for them. There's no way they can sit there and make 500 at a time. You know, they're making 20 or 30 things at a time. You know, a custom razor from a certain vendor, he or she may be able to make 5 or 6 a week, a month, a year. Who knows? It's just not possible. With the soaps as well, if you have an artisan that's making soap himself, they're like looking at you like, I can only do 25 or 30 at a time and sell them. And when they sell out, I get more funds and I can go do it again, right? So, I mean, well, I guess we're just subject to using our best judgment in this situation. But let's see what happens. Let's see what happens in the future. I've noticed it has been worse. The gouging has been worse lately. It has. But I could see trends come and go in this hobby, and I could see maybe it going away hopefully soon. So if you have any thoughts or questions about the you know, prices being demand versus supply or price gouging or anything like that with wet shaving products, you know, please feel free to send me an email at joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com and we'll talk about it and I'll put it on the show, because I'd really like to talk to some other people and see what their thoughts are on it. All right, guys, so training tip of the week, international travel. Excuse me. So international travel. Okay, I just went and traveled overseas, and I traveled also on a bus for over 3,000 miles when I was out touring, you know, France and Spain. What I noticed, okay, is I usually say to myself, oh, I want to bring my best razor because I want to have a great shave. I want to really enjoy it. I want that part of the morning to be memorable. I want that razor to have, like, you know, some miles on it, you know? Well, I'm glad I didn't, because my luggage got lost on the way home and I freaked out because I didn't have my luggage. And luckily they found it and they sent it back to my house the next day. But what would happen if I brought something prized with me and didn't bring it with me and didn't come back home with me, or it got stuck at security or something? Well, I would have been heartbroken and it would have been, you know, really hard to find something. So my advice with international travel is, first off, keep it light. Okay, less is better, because one thing I notice when I'm traveling, and probably you'll notice too when you're traveling, even if you're doing, you know, local travel, is when you wake up in the morning, you're kind of in a rush to go get going. You know, you're not really going to say, okay, I'm just going to rush and, like, you know, get my stuff going and have a nice 25-minute long shave. No, I'm going to probably shave quickly and try and get going and start my day, right? That's what happened to me when I was gone. You know, some days I would get home and back in my hotel around 10, 11 o'clock at night, and I got to be up and out the door on the bus by 5 in the morning. So, I mean, it was a long trip. It was a very extensive trip. So I'm glad I didn't bring any straight razors with me or any really expensive or aggressive safety razors with me, because I wouldn't have had time to shave properly with it, right? So my first advice is bring items that are replaceable, that you can find again, okay? So don't bring items that you can never, that are priceless to you, right? Because you might lose them. You might lose your luggage and everything like that. Step two, when you go out, and the second word of advice, bring something that's easy to use. Bring an easy brush to use. Bring an easy soap to lather. Bring an easy, a very mild, easy razor to shave with. So, example, I brought one of the West Coast shaving soaps, No. 1, Gatsby, my favorite scent. I brought a puck of that, only one puck. I then brought a synthetic brush, and I brought a Gillette Blue Tip with a pack of Derby blades. And for 12 days or 13 days, whatever, a couple of weeks, it really worked, because I had 5 blades with me, so that was enough. I got about, you know, I averaged about 2 or 3 shaves a blade anyway, so I had, you know, more than enough blades, kept it light. The blue tip is extremely mild and easy to shave with. I don't have to even think twice about using it. So when I get up early in the morning, I'm tired, or I'm in a little bit of a rush, the super speed, the blue tip really, really worked well. I mean, it was perfect razor, right? And the synthetic brushes, you know, guys, I've talked about it before. I like synthetic brushes. I'm not a big fan of synthetic brushes on a daily basis, but if I'm traveling and I'd want the brush to be dry quickly, and so I can pack it up, because sometimes you have to pack. I had to pack my things up the next day. I was only in a hotel one night. Go to another hotel, I would have to pack up quickly. And the synthetic brush I brought, you know, dries up fast. I throw it right in my dop kit, and it really, I mean, it was quick. I didn't have to worry about it. Didn't have to worry about drying it out. Didn't have to worry about anything getting ripped apart on it or getting damaged while shipping. The only other thing that I did bring with me is I did bring my wireless hair trimmer for my head, because I do shave my head, guys. I don't use a razor anymore with it. I do the trimmer. I brought that with me. It was already charged, so I get a couple, you know, uses out of that. So that worked. And I did bring a better, which I do regret too. But I mean, this is what it's for. I brought my Range leather dop kit, which is a solid leather. I mean, this thing's very impressive. And when I almost lost my luggage, I was like, okay, the blue tip I can replace. The brush I don't care about. The soap is I can get. But I was like, oh man, the dop kit. I'm gonna lose that. So I was even upset about that. Even everything else, I was more worried about my shave stuff than my souvenirs or anything like that. So that's another thing. Just, you know, the bag is meant to go on trips, so I'm glad I brought the bag. It's nice and big. It works. But I was like, oh, man, I should have brought a cheaper dop kit next time. But I'm like, what's the point of having one if I can't travel with it? You know, that's no point. It's just keeping it on a shelf. So that I agree with. Bring a good dop kit with you. And always bring a Steptic pencil or an Allume block or something like that, just in case you get cut. You can just fix the cut really quick, because you never know. You're in a hotel. You don't know where you are. There's no CVS or Walgreens in the corner if you're overseas. So you have to go find another drugstore. It might take a minute, especially if you're not native with the language of the country or you don't know the country. Try and bring as much stuff with you as you can. Bring a first aid kit, like a little one of those little pocket ones, just in case you get a cut. Or if you hurt yourself, you can fix it real quickly there without having to go to another drugstore or wrap it up or something like that. So that is another recommendation for your dop kit. So international travel, guys, remember, bring stuff that you can replace. Bring stuff that's easy to use in mild razors. Don't forget a first aid kit. And as always, bring a nice dop kit that will be nice setup that you're going to be happy with. Because, you know, this is also, you know, sometimes when you're away from home, you look for like a little piece of home when you're away. You get a little homesick. Everybody does. I mean, the excitement of travel is there, but you do get a little homesick. So, I mean, having a little piece of home is good too. So I do recommend bringing a nice soap. Bring one of your favorite soaps. You know, I wouldn't say bring a limited edition like a Passiflora soap or anything that you're never going to get back. I would bring a soap that you can replace, you know, just in case you lose your luggage. And if it gets damaged, you're okay with it. And bring something that you really love, like a everyday scent that you love, because then that's something you can also, you know, remember and do that. Travel light as possible, because you never know what's going to happen, guys. Like, again, I come home and I'm 10 o'clock at night here in Palm Beach Airport, and I'm looking for my actual luggage, and it's not there. I was freaking out. I said, oh man, good thing I didn't bring a good razor, a really expensive razor, or a limited edition soap, or a good brush, because at least I can replace with the stuff I have now. And that's how you know you're a real wet shaver, is when you're worried more about your wet shaving gear than anything else. So, all right, guys. So international travel. If you ever have any questions, I do travel quite often with my work and with, you know, at home. I do have a little setup that I do bring with me. If you have any questions or need advice with travel, you know, please feel free to email me anytime. All right, guys. Product review: Feather Blades. We've talked about Feather Blades in the past. Are they the sharpest blade on the market? I'm pretty sure they're very close, and I'll tell you why. Feather blades are made with high stainless, very, very high quality stainless steel. They're a little thicker than most blades, but let me tell you, they work very well on chevettes, and they work very well cutting you with chevettes. So I've been a fan of feather blades for a very long time, and I tend to use feather blades. Well, here's the thing. If you use a feather blade in an aggressive razor, you're going to get, and you know what you're doing, you're going to get a great shave, right? It's going to be like no other. But if you're not careful and not using that razor at the proper angle and the proper way of doing it, you are going to cut your face to ribbons. Let's be honest here. And I'm saying that with a straight face, because I'm honestly believe that, because I've done it. If you're using a feather blade, be careful. A milder razor, yes, you can get away with a little bit more. For example, like if we're talking about the blue tip. If you use a feather and a blue tip, I think you'll get a good shave without having to think about it as much. But if you're using an aggressive razor, say a Red Tip, or if you're using a Wolfman 0.84 or a Timeless 0.95 or something like that, or, you know, above the tie aggressive open comb, you're going to have to really think twice and put more effort into your shave when using a feather blade. Because I've noticed with the aggressive razors, they work great when used properly, and they work horribly if not. So technique has a lot to do with it. Remember to do skin stretching and stuff when you're shaving. A lot of guys don't do that, and there's nothing wrong with skin stretching or not. I know I do it because I'm more of a straight razor shaver, and you have to do it with a straight razor, but I also recommend doing it with a safety razor. So feather blades also, they're platinum coated, so they last for a while. They won't get as much rust on them. If you leave them, if you get a little drop of water, you'll probably be okay with it, right? If you leave it in the razor, it'll be okay. I've noticed that too. They last a while. The most I've gotten out of those razors, out of those blades, are probably 8 to 10 shaves, and that's, I do not recommend that. But that was on a feather personal razor, one of those plastic metal cheaper twist open razors that the feather makes. And those, for some reason, anything feather makes, their blades go great with it. Like their Chevettes, their safety razors, their blades are just, that's the best pairing I've ever seen with razors, is feather razors with feather blades. They really work with it. And this razor, I used the feather blade. I used to shave my head with it. I used to shave my face with it, everything. And this thing was perfect. I never would get cut or anything like that. The blade just really worked with that gap in that little razor, that cheap razor. I still have it. I still use it. I actually travel with it sometimes, too. I was thinking about bringing it on my last trip, but I forgot about it. And I said, you know, I want to bring a blue tip instead because it's more milder razor. So these blades last a long time. I've gotten 7 or 8 shaves out of them with head shaves and stuff. I don't recommend that. I still like to do my 4 on them. That's what I like to do 4. I don't like pushing a blade to the limit because the last thing I want is scraping my face and stuff like that. I mean, blades are cheap enough, right? So feather blades, I definitely give them 2 thumbs up. I think they're probably one of the best blades on the market. I'd say, again, words of caution, use them properly with aggressive razors and even with, you know, milder razors, because they will bite you. They will snap at you. All right, guys, moving right along. We are going to... I would definitely going to see some more stuff. I know there's a couple meetups coming up. You got the one in Maggard's coming up on June 1st, and then June 30th there's one actually in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, the Big Shave East. I will be unfortunately unable to attend either of them, but I will be watching closely online. So if you're going to those events and you have some pictures you'd like to share, please feel free to send them to me. And have a good time at these meetups. I know a lot of people are traveling. I know there's 2 going, and a lot of vendors are going to be hitting up both of them. There's going to be some really cool vendors. I know at Maggard's that I just talked to, a couple of them going. I saw the list of that, and Maggard's has quite a few people. So if you're in that area and you're going, I know it's sold out, 255 people. As for the one in Fort Lauderdale, I'm not sure. I don't think there's a limit of people that can go, so you could probably still make it. But yeah, remember, guys, Wet Shaving Meetups, great places to meet people, great places to meet some vendors in person and buy some stuff if you're looking for it. Not so much really so much to buy stuff, but it's really a good area to meet people and have a good time. So, you know, if you're going to one of those meetups, have a great time, have a blast, have a beer on me or for me, because I won't be able to make it, and just have a good time and share some photos and stuff online. That's the best thing to do, is go and share the wealth, share the experiences you had. And that concludes the podcast for this week, guys. Next week we're going to talk about, well, in 2 weeks we're going to talk more about, you know, what's happening in the wet shaving world. We're going to have a new video. I got some videos coming out that I'm working on right now. I'll have that new video out. You know, as always, a training tip of the week. And if you ever need to contact me, please contact me at joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com. Also, that survey is still up, the Survey Monkey. The link is in the show notes if you want to take it. I'm just going to keep it open. You know, I was thinking about closing it down, but I'd like to keep it open and just see feedback, because feedback actually makes everything better. I mean, do that in all of our lives, and we'll be able to fix all of our problems, right? Our show is presented and is powered by, Sharpologist.com, What Your Father Didn't Teach You About Shaving. Special thanks to Mark, a.k.a. Mantic59. For letting us use his platform and everything that he does in the wet shaving community. Most of all, special thanks to you guys, the listeners. Without you, there would be no podcast and no reason to come on here every 2 weeks. So don't forget to check out my blog site at shavestraightandsafe.com for tips and interesting wet shaving stories. And please feel free to contact me at joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com. Also, check out my YouTube channel for new videos. I've gotten a few more up there. And don't forget to check out the West Coast Shaving video as well, because I've got a couple on there as well if you want to see me instead of just hear me. You know. LOL, right? If you're a vendor, you want to be featured on the show, if you have anything you'd like to give away, also contact me as well. Our next show will be June 11th of 2018. Until then, guys, shave straight and save safe, and have a good one. Bye.